What is up, Level Up Nation, and welcome to the March 20th edition of OTN's Level Up Live, your home for the hottest takes in gaming news. My name is Fiasco, you can call me John, and I'm joined, as always, by the king of the courtside, who may be a little terrified of a little bitty spider, Joey. What's up, buddy?
It was tiny, but like I was saying, John, lions, tigers, and bears, not really too worried about it. It's the spiders and snakes, man, they just get me. Creepy crawly, you got the little eight-legged guys with a bunch of eyes. You got the little thin belly guy that somehow still climbs trees effectively. Not about the spider and snake life.
There is no better way to start the show than with Joey panicking over a tiny little spider on his microphone, but have no fear. The spider was not going to stick around for the recording of the show, unfortunately. That's one less audience member we have today. So we're going to pour it out for them. But nonetheless, again, welcome to OTN's Level Up Live Nation. If you're not doing so already, a little homework before we get started today. Make sure you're following the show on social media. That is X, formerly known as Twitter, formerly known as what other names Elon wants to call it by. And Facebook at OTN Media. You can find us on Threads and Instagram at OTN_media. And while you're on X, Twitter, Insta, Threads, Facebook, Funsies, all that fun stuff, at Courtside King to find Joey, at Fiasco to find me. And Nation, while the live show on Twitch is the place to be for your entertainment on Thursday, or in this case, Wednesday nights, we do offer the show in the podcast version of the show. It's the audio version, the podcast version. There you go. Podcast version is available roughly 24 hours after the live taping here on Twitch on your podcatcher of choice. Extra credit. Your parents have it. You have it. Your boss has it, your teacher has it, your professor has it. It's the Amazon Prime, which gives you a Twitch Prime sub. Use it on OTN, and Joey will come personally give you a back massage anywhere in the continental 48 states of North America. Simple as that. Very generous of Joey, too. He's going to rack up them freaking flyer miles is what his plan really is here. Joey, you killed the spider. We have our shoddy intro because I'm exhausted, had a very long week. But what in the world are we talking about today on Level Up Live?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to have to wake you up, John, because we have quite a few topics to cover tonight. We have PS5 Pro specs, rumored, detailed, potentially leaked. Sony is trying to, I would say, do an internal investigation at this point to find out where the details came from. With that ongoing, I think we can probably guess that these are pretty close to the real thing, if not directly head on. On top of that, there is some drama, let's say, going on at Bungie, but also some updates on Marathon, their game over there, so we'll be jumping into that. We have some new Game Pass additions to detail, plenty of big games coming out this week. GDC is currently going on as well. That is kind of like the big game developers conference for those who don't follow too much of the game development side of things. So we're going to see a lot of new trailers coming out from that, new features, new different things being worked on from the tool perspective as well. So some details will fit into here, but most of those you guys will have to scavenge online because a lot of them are behind closed doors, so most of it will be through leaks. We have a couple other updates on some games like Overwatch 2, Sea of Thieves 2024. John, Sea of Thieves is getting some new weapons in 2024. Kind of excited to dive into that. We have your favorite, World of Warcraft, but taking a different turn with Plunderstorm, your favorite game mode, Battle Royale, is now mixing with MMOs. that facial reaction.
We will wait till we get to that topic before I go off on that.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a fun one. We have Epic Games with some updates as well. Some of these coming from GDC, some of these coming from U.S. court systems. We'll dive more into that as we get down there. A new Marvel game to show off and much, much more. John, with that being said, we do have quite a few topics today, so can't go over all of them here at the front, but we will throughout the show.
All right, Joey. So we have our topics, and before we dive headfirst into those topics, Joey, of course, it is time for that time-honored tradition passed down from generations to generations, all the way from episode 1 to episode 333 tonight. Threes across the board, Joey. What are you having for your drink of choice tonight?
John, sticking with the theme of St. Patrick's Day, I have got a Guinness Draught with me tonight. Doing the Irish proud.
Are you even Irish?
With a last name like McDermott? Yes, I am, good sir.
He's actually the same height as a leprechaun, folks.
True. And I have not found the pot of gold, contrary to belief.
Worst leprechaun NA. Simple as that. Joey, I'm rocking the Coke Zero today because your boy needs caffeine. I had an energy drink earlier today, roughly around 4 o'clock. It is not working. So we're going to supplement it with more caffeine. I do have a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Just don't tell him that I've had about 800 milligrams of caffeine in 3 hours, because that would be bad. Joey, we have our topics. We have my heart about ready to explode. So let's why not just kick the show off while I'm still alive? And we're going to head into our first segment. But before we do that, today's episode of Level Up Live is, of course, my Stream Deck is not working. Which is fantastic. So we're going to have to do this the old school way to transition, which means I have to find the scene we want to go to. Killing time, that's what we do here while we're looking for it. But have no fear, as today's episode is presented by GamerBytes, bite-sized gaming news delivered weekly directly to your inbox. Sign up today, otnmedia.org/GB. Sign up. Your weekly gaming news is exciting. Joey, we are starting off with our good friends Sony. What's happening in the world of PlayStation?
We are, but before I want to touch on a game you've been playing recently, John, we should talk a little bit about the games we're playing here at the top of the show. One of them you're playing is made by Sony, currently playing it on Xbox, but it is a sports game and one dear to your heart. That is MLB The Show, John, and I know you've been working on that Diamond Dynasty squad. How's it coming along, and how is the new addition of the show?
It's coming along way too good. There are a lot of changes in the game this year. I don't know how I feel about it as of yet. First off, full disclosure, I'm one of those weird players I like to play with meter throwing, which for some people it really throws them off. For me, it's normal. It feels natural. That's the way I've always played baseball games, so it doesn't bother me at all. I also do meter pitching. Let's see. That was a very weird notice I just got. Okay. Cool. Looks like we may be having some connection issues with OBS today and Twitch, but nonetheless, we'll keep chugging along here as I'm getting all these notifications popping up with all these fun network errors and everything. So, yeah, we'll figure out what in the world's going on with that here, but podcast viewers don't have to worry about this. But nonetheless, MLB The Show is going quite well. Very exciting. They have a new throwing mechanic where you have to input five buttons in a row, if you will, to make an accurate on-target throw. It goes pretty quick. It does slow down with the higher your fielding and throwing rating goes, or the player that you're playing as, the higher rating that they have. So that's always fun. Batting seems the same. Pitching mechanics seem the same. Nonetheless, I think the game got a nice overhaul. Road to the Show I'm not going to say it received a huge overhaul, but there's a combine you have to go through now, which is really cool, that can determine where you get drafted. They have a draft animation now where if you're like in the top two rounds, the commissioner of baseball actually drafts you on stage, which is kind of cool. Otherwise, you are on a couch with an iPad. It's kind of cool. But nonetheless, I'm enjoying it, sir. My Diamond Dynasty is currently at an 87 overall. I've got 5 Diamond players now.
Ooh.
With the addition of the shortstop of the Padres, Kim. Currently in South Korea playing in the Seoul Series, Dodgers versus Padres. That kicked off today, this morning for us. So that was very exciting to watch on TV as well. But nonetheless, MLB The Show is absolutely fantastic. I had early access and have really enjoyed playing it so far.
So is Kim your highest rated player then?
No. Utley at second bases. He's a 99.
And who did Utley used to play for?
The Dodgers.
Oh, I knew you were going to do that as soon as I asked that question.
Joey, you're messing with the wrong guy. I know everything.
I know. As soon as I asked that question, I was like, dang it, he's going to go with that. He also played for the Phillies, and I'm glad he's made your team, as has Trey Turner, and I'm sure many other Diamond players throughout the season as we go on. But we are now back live here on Twitch. John was just detailing his Diamond Dynasty team, which is looking pretty good. 5 Diamonds so far, for those who missed that part. And on top of that, it looks like Trey Turner, Chase Utley making the roster. Happy to be a Phillies fan and hear that as well.
So So Turner actually was my first diamond card I pulled for the second year in a row.
Ooh.
Which is really cool. I'm a big Trey Turner fan. You know, he was on the Nationals, traded to the Dodgers, signed with the Phillies as a nightmare I had a year before it happened. So is what it is. Still absolutely enjoy watching the guy play. He's an electric athlete and a great person as well. So I could never root against him, even though he plays for that team who shall not be named. Actually, I will name them. The team with the payroll that can't beat the Diamondbacks. How about that? Or the Astros. Either one. So yeah, it's. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Joey. It hurts, but I'm sorry. Not sorry, but I'm sorry.
Well, at least he's close enough you can see him, and they play series often enough.
Yeah,
so
hey. Like 15 times a year. It's fun. It's not torture at all.
We'll take what we can get. Maybe eventually we'll do a little Diamond Dynasty stream one here where John and I take on each other and John wallops me a few times with a wooden bat. I think I won one in our series last year. It was like 7-1 or something.
It's probably off stream when it happened.
Yeah, it probably was off stream. And it's tough, too, because John is very good at driving home all these players and continuing to do the things he's supposed to through the different, I don't even remember what they call them, but through the different little brackets and headliner things and all that good stuff. Improving your team, let's say. So my chances of winning seem to go down drastically as the season goes on.
You're already behind, sir.
I'm very behind.
I had the early access. I got like 20 free packs.
Yeah, you're killing it.
Yeah, it was great. I haven't had to spend any real additional money other than the pre-order so far.
Wow, for real?
It's been crushing it. Crushing it.
Wow. Already off to a hot start. If you guys want to check that out, maybe we can get John to stream. If not, come by Discord. Discord.me/OTN. Occasionally, we are blessed with John streaming some Diamond Dynasty in there as well. So you can go ahead and check that out too. Okay, next up, let's talk PlayStation. We're already in the PlayStation section. We might as well talk about the console or the new console per se. The PS5 Pro specs details. So again, we touched on this a little bit in the topic section. There have been rumors of a PS5 Pro for a little while now. Now we have some more details coming out. Sony has launched an internal investigation on said details leaking. So I think we can kind of move it from rumor to most likely true. Or if not exactly true, pretty darn close to true as far as what we are seeing here. So those details, we're going to read them out of the InsiderGaming.com piece here. System memory, we're looking at a little upgrade there, a 28% increase over the standard console, processing 576 gigabytes per second versus the standard PS5 at 448. The CPU is a little disappointing. It's going to be identical to the standard PS5. However, there is a different feature involved here, where there's a high CPU frequency mode, which can take that CPU up a little bit higher, getting about a 10% increase. So again, you're not really upgrading too much for CPU here. You are getting a little boost in terms of memory, but the big change is going to come down here in the GPU. The GPU previously revealed is going to render about 45% faster than the standard PS5. We're looking at 2 to 3 times ray tracing, up to 4 in some cases with those lower frame games. 33.5 teraflops, that is a big number. We saw it get memed quite a bit when I think it was the Xbox One X came out and announced that it was coming out with 12 teraflops, which was the big thing back then, and everyone was joking about the word teraflop. Now it's become kind of industry standard here in the console space. This one's going to jump up to 8K potentially as well, depending on the games. And overall, you're really, if you're going to invest in the PlayStation 5 Pro, you're investing for the graphics. You're not seeing a big bump in processor. You're not seeing a giant bump in many other areas except for that GPU. Now, with that being said, and this is where I'm going to go into the controversial space potentially, I don't think we're really in need of a mid-gen refresh. I think COVID really screwed things up. COVID delayed a ton of games for 2 years. We're sitting with these consoles, the PS5 and the Xbox Series X, which are pretty darn powerful at this point, and no one is really fully tapped into the potential there. We've seen some developers holding off on Xbox features because the PlayStation 5 has parity clauses. We've seen PlayStation not fully enhance the DualSense controller because the Xbox doesn't have a DualSense controller. So developers are picking and choosing some of these features that they enable on these different consoles. But on top of that, we're not even hitting the top end of graphics yet. And I think that, to me, is the biggest holdback for a mid-gen refresh here. If you're looking at this, I would guess it's going to be priced around $600 or so. Maybe they bumped out standard pricing and launched this a little closer to $500, $550. I don't think that's the PlayStation way. I think this is going to be $600 at the cheapest. And I just don't really see a big need for it. Like, yes, new, fresh, flashy graphics are awesome. I love ray tracing. I think it's cool. But if you're going to invest this much money into something at the moment, I think you're better off saving up for the next-gen PS or the next-gen Xbox or maybe just buying a GPU. I mean, NVIDIA is killing it. AMD is getting better as well in that space for PC. All of these games for both are coming to PC. I feel like if graphics are really what's driving you, PC is probably the way to go. And again, I do get people want to be in their living room and consoles might be that best space. And this could be that console for you. Just for me personally, a graphics jump is not going to be enough to have me invest when I know the two current consoles for Xbox and PlayStation are not being fully utilized by devs yet.
See, what Sony is banking on, and if I was still in the Sony ecosystem, I'd be upset. They're banking on Sony fanboys to go, oh my gosh, this is amazing, I need to upgrade. I hate to break it to you, Joey. Can you tell me how many games are produced right now in 8K?
Yeah, it's none.
Can you tell me how many games are released in native 4K?
Very few.
Very, very few. A lot of these systems are upscaling games that are essentially released in 2K format to 4K. There's very few games that are released in true native 4K. When you take a look at this, you go, oh, 33.5 teraflops. You're looking at, you know, an AI accelerator supporting upwards of 67 teraflops. And you know, it sounds great. At the end of the day, you're not going to notice a difference, right? A mid-generation refresh typically means a smaller console, a better heat sink, better heat distribution, because that has always plagued consoles. You're looking at tweaks to a graphics card and a processor to provide better performance. That's mainly what a mid-generation refresh is. Nothing here should scream to you as a consumer or a gamer who already owns a PlayStation 5. None of this should scream to you, oh my gosh, I have to upgrade. And in fact, if you're unlucky and you have a PlayStation 5 that's struggling right now, I would argue going for the mid-generation upgrade is still a waste of money. Go back and just buy another normal PS5. Save yourself a couple $100. Don't worry about paying for this mid-generation upgrade, because at the end of the day, it's not going to be put to use efficiently. This is going to be the kind of stuff that the next generation of console, which according to Sony, this generation's almost dead, as they release a mid-generation update. This generation's almost dead. They're already working on their next console. You know, maybe by the time that next console comes out in 5 years, maybe 8K games are going to be a thing. Maybe native 4K gaming is going to be a thing. The biggest issue right now that gamers and well, really game companies are trying to do is utilize the cloud. Why? Because these games are so massive. Joey, to give a comparison here, in the early 2000s, yes, we're dinosaurs, people. when Microsoft Flight Simulator X came out, which was the last major Microsoft Flight Sim update before the one we got a couple years ago that utilizes the cloud. This is important. In the early 2000s, when Microsoft Simulator X came out, it was 4 CD-ROMs. 4 to just install the game. Then you had to run the game off of the 4th CD-ROM, the 4th CD in the optics drive to run it. And if you had a slow optics drive, that game crawled. Absolutely crawled. It was absolutely terrible. Why? Tons of graphics. Tons and tons of graphics. There wasn't a graphics card that could handle it. There wasn't a processor that could provide enough power for it. It took years for computers to catch up to where that program was actually usable, to the point where even the FAA uses it for flight training. So that says something, right? That game, those 4 CDs, was, I believe it was a 2 gigabyte game. Now, you may be sitting back there laughing, going, 2 gigs, that's nothing. In 2002, That was huge. Again, four CDs was 2 gigs, not a thumb drive, where my thumb drive I just bought from Micro Center the other day is 256 gigs on that stupid little stick. That's how far technology has come in roughly 20 years, right? Four CDs for 2 gigs of flight sim on a computer that could hardly run it. Now, yeah. So now we have games that are over 100, 150, 200 gigs large, right? Trying to power all the graphics and everything in a timely fashion. That's why they want to utilize the cloud. Consoles aren't released with enough storage. Problem number one. I would take off 80% of this crap Sony's trying to sell you on a mid-gen upgrade if they were to give me a 2 terabyte hard drive on a Sony PlayStation. A 10 terabyte hard drive with how big these dang games are. Now, you may be sitting there going like, well, how big's your library? Like, how many games do you have to have downloaded? Joey, there's nothing more annoying than playing a game and realizing, hey, I haven't played this game in a while. I'm going to uninstall it. For 3 weeks later, come back and be like, oh, I'm really craving to play this game. And guess what? Now you have to wait 2 hours to download this 200 gig game again because you want to play it and you get frustrated and you never play it again. Just leave it installed. You have 10 terabytes to work with. Just do that. It's not asking much. The technology is there. Do that. Increase storage. Stop with this other crap. Simple as that. That's what they need to focus on. Otherwise, they're going to focus on cloud gaming, and none of this is going to matter until they figure cloud gaming out to the point that it's going to give you 4K instantly without the lag, without the buffering, without the streaming issues that we all have from every streaming service known to man, not just video games. The buffering, the connection, all the other crap is still a thing here, even in 2024. So, to me, this is Sony preying on their gamers, the people that are in the Sony PlayStation ecosystem going, oh, man, look at these numbers. These are going to be great. You're going to want to upgrade your console, and you're not going to tell a freaking difference outside of the color change of the body of the console.
Okay.
Sorry. That was a little bit of a rant there.
That was a little aggressive at the end. You'll be able to tell the blades of grass are cleaner, right? Like, graphically, yes. Graphically, there will be an upgrade. But I really think this is for the enthusiast, right? This, like you're saying, John, the fanboy, the person who either has excess cash flow or very much wants to have every PlayStation product, it just doesn't feel like it's going to fit in too many people's cabinets for now. Not because of the size this time, but because why am I going to spend $600 on this when it's really not going to bring a ton more to the table? And I think that's the biggest question. And the economy, at least in the U.S., has been shaky. I feel like worldwide it's been quite shaky recently. And I just don't see a ton of people going out and getting this. I think this is kind of like the PSVR 2 to some degree. Yes, it's definitely more proven as a console for PlayStation, but I do think it's one of those things where it feels a little bit excessive given what is out there currently. And it's the same thing with the Xbox, right? We're in the PlayStation section, but if Xbox does come out with a mid-gen refresh, I think it's the same exact argument. Why do we need this when the current consoles, we have developers saying they're taking advantage of like 65 to 70% of the current consoles. We're about midway through the generation. The PS5, the Xbox Series X, still untapped potential, still untapped features amongst them. It just feels like this is a little bit unnecessary at this point for anyone that is not that person looking for the highest level of tech available for consoles. With that being said, if you do want to pick up a PS5, no hard feelings. You will have some very nice graphics. You're not going to get a ton else out of it. And for those Xbox players, if there is a mid-gen refresh and you do the same thing, the same argument is going to be said for you guys. It just doesn't feel like these are coming out at a time where many people need to see an upgrade. And I feel like in previous generations, at least for me, John, it was at the point where you start to see the Xbox One or the PS4 starting to like plateau to some degree. You're not seeing stuff get pushed. The graphics are kind of plateauing. The performance might be slowing down. It just doesn't feel like we're in that place in this gen. And a lot of that due to COVID kind of taking 2 years off the generation to some degree with all the delays. It just feels like everything is a little bit behind. And this might be coming out a little bit too early, especially if we have Sony saying they're going to end the generation here in the next couple of years. And I think that's one of the things where, again, from both sides, potentially, this feels like a little bit of a money grab.
Now, the last thing I'm going to say is this, and this is my personal experience, so this may not be you, the listener, or viewer's experience when it comes to this. Joey, I have been in the Sony ecosystem since the original Sony, PlayStation 1. When the original Sony PlayStation got their mid-generation upgrade, it was called the PS1. It was a quarter of the size of the original PlayStation. And everyone loved it because it was so compact and it did everything. You know, it was great and it was amazing. And everyone I knew that upgraded to the Sony PlayStation 1 also had power issues with it. Mm. Also had issues with disk skips. The optical drive wasn't as great because it was a smaller system and they had to cut down somewhere. So it was a smaller optical drive and they had to settle for a smaller laser and all this other stuff. There were so many issues with it. I stuck with the original PlayStation. Didn't go to the mid-generation refresh. Completely fine. Fast forward a couple years. PlayStation 2. That blocky beast that had a ton of heat issues, had a ton of hardware issues when it came out. Because honestly, the jump from the PlayStation 1 to the PlayStation 2 was enormous, right? So massive, massive upgrades. That may have been the only console generation where I considered a mid-generation upgrade because I had so many issues with the original PlayStation 2. But you want to know something? I only had to get it repaired twice. And it was very early on in the life cycle of the PlayStation 2, and it remained in working condition all the way through the rest of the generation. Meanwhile, everyone who jumped ship to the mid-generation PS2 had issues once again.
That was a Slim, right? For that one?
Yeah, the Slim.
Yeah.
Which, weird, it's like they take these big behemoths that already have heat sink problems to make it smaller, and they still struggle with heat. Who would have guessed? So, you know, it makes no sense. Fast forward to the PlayStation 3. That thing was a behemoth. Why was it so big? They couldn't handle the heat, literally and figuratively. I didn't have to do the mid-generation upgrade on the PS3 also, even though the PS3 in the middle generation came out was, what, Joey? Smaller. Still had heat problems. Still had the same issues the original PlayStation 3 had. Moving on to the PlayStation 4. Same thing. I got the Destiny launch model of the PlayStation 4, the all-white PlayStation 4. They came out with the PlayStation 4 Pro model mid-generation upgrade. Never upgraded to that. Everyone that I knew that upgraded to the PlayStation 4 mid-generation upgrade, they had issues with their PlayStation still. So it's a gamble. It's a gamble. And in this case, it's probably going to be a $600 gamble. You've already invested in your current hardware. Do you want to upgrade? And if you do, you're going to have to re-download everything or hope the cloud works or whatever. And then you have to hope that Sony's issues of mid-generation upgrades, at least again in my experience, don't come back to bite you in the butt. Do you use a console that you know has worked for you the past 3, 4, 5 years? Or do you fall victim to the marketing grab that is a mid-generation upgrade? Simple as that. And if you do, I hope you don't get the same problems that all my friends in the Sony PlayStation world got, which was essentially heat problems, system errors for that mid-generation upgrade. Again, my experience, not everyone's experience. Big reason why I'm not a huge fan of mid-generation upgrades is that of that. It's not always the best. The grass is not always greener on the mid-generation upgrade.
Right. And again, this one, it's going to be a jump graphically, but again, a lot of these other mid-gen refreshes, you at least see jumps in CPU, you see jumps in all these other areas. It doesn't seem like this one is going to see a ton of a jump anywhere outside of the graphics. So if you need the hottest graphics, if you want stuff upscaled to 8K, this is the console for you, potentially, if you have that excess cash laying around. But outside of that, outside of having that extra money, outside of needing those improved graphics, it doesn't seem like the Pro is going to offer a ton else other than that, at least so far.
I would be shocked if people would be able to tell the difference between the two. I really would be.
I think you could tell.
I don't.
Really?
I don't. Because it comes down to the resolution of the game also. These games are not being built in native 4K. Mm. And now you're touting, oh, we're going to upscale to 8K? Joey, do you own an 8K TV?
I do not.
Yeah, most people don't own an 8K TV. Why? Because TVs, movies, videos, shows, whatever. They're not in 4. They're not in 8K. They're hardly all in 4K. Mm-hmm. It's all upscaling. The average gamer is not going to notice a single difference. I would even argue the hardcore gamer is going to have a hard time making big notices unless you're like specifically looking for that blade of grass. 4K is where it's at. Let the world catch up to 4K. Let the gaming industry catch up to native 4K. Let's stop this upscaling crap and then worry about major graphic updates in a mid-generation console that can upscale to 8K that no one freaking has. Okay, I'll stop because we're going way too long on this topic. Sorry, Joey. Passionate
yeah, we have talked a lot. I mean, it's word of warning, right, guys? If you want that highest top graphical beast out there and want to spend a pretty penny for it, it will be available later this year. It sounds like projecting holiday 2024. If you're pretty happy with the current gen, we would recommend probably sticking with your current gen consoles. The end of this generation is probably going to come sooner than you expect, and this one is not really going to bring a ton to the table outside of graphics. And those graphics might not even be noticeable, according to John. So get your eyes checked, get your consoles checked, look at Digital Foundry. I'm sure they'll do a bunch of different reviews based on this, and you can kind of use that as some potential, a case for buying this if you have the excess money. Moving on, just talking a little bit about Bungie here. This one coming from IGN. This is unfortunate news and could be true, could not be. It is a rumor for now. But IGN is saying there is growing expectation that senior company leadership at Bungie will leave in droves in the summer of 2026 when the final payouts from Sony's acquisition of the company take effect. Is this something new? Not really. I mean, it's not super new in gaming. It's not super new in just company takeovers in general. A lot of those big wigs will leave once they get paid out. They just got a huge payday. They sold their company. They lose some of those creative rights, some of that control over the company. Maybe they don't feel as comfortable within the company at that point, and then they just take their leave after taking their paycheck. We've seen it a ton in business. It's not a huge surprise here. With that being said, Bungie is one of those companies that has kind of marketed themselves as a team player, has kind of marketed themselves as a community support, as a huge team that comes together for all these different things. And over the last couple of years, we've definitely seen question marks pop up with that, with layovers taking over. Some of those are Sony-driven and PlayStation-driven, but a lot of it is because of targets the Bungie leadership put out. They're way above expectations. They were not met, and then PlayStation said, hey, look, you're going to have to cut some people loose because you're far under the expectations that you sold us on. And that, I think, is on Bungie leadership. Is them leaving here a bad thing? I think the jury's still out on that, to be completely honest. Yes, it sucks that you kind of brought all these people in, you drove this vision forward, and then you didn't deliver on it. But at the same point, and similar to what we saw with Activision Blizzard and Bobby Kotick, I don't necessarily think this is the worst move for those under them at Bungie. I think this could free up some space. PlayStation, they've had some questionable leadership decisions here and there, but overall, it's a pretty well-run company for the most part. I think this could free up some more creative movement up top and maybe kind of reinvigorate the culture over there at Bungie with something a little bit more positive than we've seen recently, at least in the last year.
Wasn't Bungie the studio that was nominated for community outreach?
They were.
Awards, right, like 2 days after they announced...
laying all their community team off.
Yeah.
Yeah, rip.
Enough said.
Yeah, it was messy. It was definitely a messy year, and John and I went pretty hot and heavy into that as far as if you're going to cut people... The last people you want to cut is the team communicating with your community, especially if you're a live service game. Destiny is your kind of bread and butter in this situation. It's not a good look when you cut off that communication to the community when everyone has so many questions out there. It has been a mess. Their latest stuff has been a mess. They ended up delaying the Final Shape expansion from February to June. Still looks like it's on pace for June, but a lot of question marks on what that will bring for Destiny players. And there hasn't really been a clear answer on what Destiny 2 is going to mean after that expansion as well. Once the Light and Dark saga ends, is Destiny 2 still going to be a thing? Or is it going to be like what we saw with Destiny 1, where they promise this game that's going to last a very, very long time, and then eventually we have a Destiny 3 on our hands? We're just not really quite sure yet, and I think there's a lot of questions out there for this leadership team to answer before they leave in 2026.
Joey, remember when Destiny was first launched, how it was only supposed to be Destiny with expansion packs, kind of like World of Warcraft, and, oh, there would never be a Destiny 2? And then we got a Destiny 2, and then it kind of reminds me of that one company that had that Overwatch game. It was, oh, it's a base game with expansions, and we got Overwatch 2 also, and didn't work out for either one of them.
Nope. Yeah, I mean, it is definitely a messy game to play when it comes to stuff like that. You promise one thing to an audience, and I get it. Like, in certain cases, you need that technical jump. Do I think Overwatch 2 took it that well? No. Do I think Destiny 2 took it? I didn't really dive a ton into Destiny 1, so I can't say for certain. But based on what I've heard feedback-wise, I would say it probably wasn't as needed as they made it sound at the time. And I think it could be the same if we do go that Destiny 3 route. But yeah, I'm not going to assume that is the case that is going to be made here. We'll see what they end up marketing out over the rest of the year, including the final shape, and then go from there. On top of that, Destiny is working on Marathon. Marathon getting a revival under Bungie here and getting a new director. We have ex-Valorant game director Joe Ziegler coming over from Riot Games and joining the team at Bungie. Joe did a great job with Valorant. I know some OTN community members love Valorant and some others hate Valorant. It definitely can be a little bit of a contentious game in that sense. But with that being said, I think Joe delivered a strong game. It has come out. It's had a strong esports scene behind it. It's had some good content updates over time. And I feel like it's landed pretty well with players overall, taking some of that CSGO audience as well. So with that being said, I think if you have to put this into anyone's hands, Joe Ziegler is definitely a high-quality candidate. Nothing else on that?
No. I actually have a... it's funny because the topic that's on our list for a little bit later on, hiring someone who's ex-Riot, I think is great. Mm. It's Valorant, like you said, is a great game. Riot, when it comes to developing games, I mean, obviously League of Legends is an absolute juggernaut. But when we get to a topic a little bit later on about a game Riot is producing and who they brought on, that's where I may have another rant. And we'll see when we get there.
To be continued. For now, we can slide over into the Xbox section. Not a ton to touch on here this week for Xbox. It's been a little bit of a quieter week over there on the green side of things. But we do have a new slate of Game Pass games here coming out. Taking a quick look at those, F123, we have The Quarry, my screen is really small, Evil West, Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 Turbocharged, Open Roads, Super Hot, Mind Control Delete, we have Ark Survival Ascended, Diablo 4, big one there, and that is a big AAA game in and of itself, but also the first game since the acquisition of Activision Blizzard that comes from the Activision side of things, and then we also have a game preview of Terra Invicta coming as well. Pretty solid slate of games here, John. You got some sports games, you got some horror action, you got a big AAA in Diablo, Ark Survival Ascended. Again, it is a remake or remaster, rather, of the original, but another big game kind of there in that AAA space. Hot Wheels has always done very well. Open Roads, a nice little indie. So I think it's a nice little mix overall. I think the big highlight for sure, at least for me, is Diablo 4, though, finally making its way to Xbox and kind of hopefully opening up that dam of Activision Blizzard games coming to Game Pass here in the near future.
Joey, did you hear that sound?
What was that?
It's not the wind that's blowing outside of our houses right now because of the high winds we're having. That was the squeal of the Sony ponies saying, "It's happening! It's coming to fruition! Xbox is getting everything Blizzard Activision!" Yeah, it's great. I love it. I think it's fantastic. I have waited for this day for a very, very, very long time. Enjoy the meltdown, fam. It's going to be fantastic.
You are so obnoxious. I'm like, what sound is he talking about? And I'm like looking at my thing to see if I'm spiking. I'm like looking around. I'm like, what the hell? Yes, that's the squealing. Very nice, very nice. On top of these games listed, we had a couple more that got added as well the day of the announcement. It's Lightyear Frontier. For those who like mech games or survival games, it's kind of a combination of both of those. It feels a little bit like Slime Rancher in a mech. So if you like Slime Rancher, definitely one worth checking out. We had MLB The Show 24, as John previously mentioned. That one also dropped on cloud and console. And then NBA 2K24 also dropped on cloud and console as well. So lots of sport games between MLB, NBA 2K, and F1 coming in here. And Hot Wheels, you can consider that a sport game as well. A lot of good sporting action. And again, as John said, that Activision Blizzard games now finally making their way over with Diablo 4 being the first at the end of the month.
It's that Sony pony squeal, man. You
had to be good on that one. I was like, please tell me there's not another spider.
actually, there is. It's actually on your back paneling behind
you. Yeah. Very, very funny.
Okay, don't believe me.
That would be one heck
everyone
of a
can
squeal.
See it. Everyone can see it. But you, because your back's turned to it.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on the paneling over there. You know, I have a camera I can look in right here that gives me a mirror view.
You can't. You're Joey, you're a leprechaun. We all know your vision's bad.
Ahoy! Well, the luck of the Irish and possibly the luck of rewards points. Xbox is overhauling their rewards program. We have no more rewards app on Xbox consoles. However, it's not completely gone. They're now relocating it to a rewards hub, which I believe I've had access to in the preview program and have not looked at yet, so I can't really report on it. But I think you click the guide button, and then it's going to be somewhere on there. Hopefully there's a picture in this little thing that you just pulled up on stream, John. But typically the rewards has a little medal icon. It looks like a nice little Olympic medal or military medal or whatever you want to call it. You click on that, at least for now, in the app, and it brings you to an option to like watch ads or to click on things to learn about a new game, search on Bing, all different little tasks, unlock an achievement that do add up and earn points. I don't exactly know 100% how this is going to work now. It does look cleaner, at least from this little screenshot John has pulled up here on stream. Hopefully it'll be a little bit more fluid. We'll see how it ends up going. Typically nowadays, I'm doing most of it on my phone anyway. But for those who do it directly on the console, it looks like there will be a new way to access that. And again, I believe it is through the Xbox guide button on your controller.
Yeah, Joey, you're doing it on your phone until you get stumped on a quiz and then you come into Discord.
That
and
is
have
fun.
Everyone else answer the questions for you so you can reap the benefits of the reward points, Joey. You do not give back to the community. You are selfish and greedy, sir.
Highly recommend doing the rewards points. Highly recommend. Even if it is a little fun to ask some quiz questions to people on Discord, they do earn a little bit of points here and there that eventually add up. We're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but I think it's really cool, and I recommend you guys reading it. At GDC, Xbox has announced their Gaming for Everyone product inclusion framework. Again, in that kind of Xbox Microsoft naming convention, this is definitely a mouthful. This one's coming out for game developers to help make games more accessible. So more or less, it's talking about inclusion, approachability, representation within games, globalization and accessibility. So this is for your disabled gamers. This is for gamers who are maybe in a country that doesn't have a ton of games or a ton of language support. This is for people who may have some kind of disabilities, mental or physical. This is more or less making games more accessible. We're talking bigger text. We're talking text to speak. We're talking different options of color available, maybe for like colorblind folks. This is kind of all of that, and it's bringing it all together. And I think this is not going to be a big benefit for your EAs and your Sonys and all these kind of big developers that already spend the money on this. But I'm thinking from the indie developer perspective. You have these small developers who already have very limited budgets. Now having a resource like this available to them makes their game so much more accessible to those people who maybe couldn't have played them before because of one of these disabilities or one of these things holding them back in a certain way. So I love the idea of this bringing more games to more people and being something very easily accessible that Microsoft is backing. I think it's just going to be very good, again, for those indie developers especially to be able to get their games in more hands and for more hands to be able to enjoy games in general. So I really like this. There's a great article about it up at developer.microsoft.com. Definitely check it out if you're into accessibility in gaming, something I think we all should strive for. Next up, and just to briefly touch on it, because John's going to make fun of it, because he always does, Halo Infinite just got a big content update. For those who have been asking for big updates for Halo, this is one of them. It got a networking overhaul, so we're now seeing shot registration a little bit more effective. John falls asleep over there. We have easy anti-cheat coming in, 7 new squad battle maps. John has not played squad battle with me, which is super disappointing, but that's here nor there. It's 8v8 mode with some vehicles. It's a ton of fun. It's new since John has deleted Halo practically. Eventually, I'll get him to come back and play with me, as well as some Firefight Customs with some PvE action. With that being said, if you're still around, some really cool stuff here. John, go ahead and play that trailer of some of these maps while you're talking about it just briefly. We do get some new map previews, and one thing 343 has done really well, and I hope to see this in more games, is the ability for community maps to be featured. I am going to smack you across this virtual screen in a minute over there. You are so obnoxious. you guys should be here live, twitch.tv/OTMmedia. But overall, some really cool maps, some community creations being featured in here, from forests to industrial complexes and so on and so forth, now making their way to that playlist in this 7 new additional maps. I do think some of these may have been from 343. Don't quote me on that. But some of them are definitely from the community side of things as well. Sea of Thieves. Oh, now you play it. I swear. Ah, guys. What is this man doing to me? For those listening to the podcast version of the show, you can find this on the Halo YouTube channel if you guys want to check out these seven new maps. And it does credit the creators of these maps as well in the bottom left corner as they're being previewed. Some really pretty stuff, some good palettes, and it just kind of shows the potential of more modes like Forge, where it puts the creation tools in the hands of the players, Forge being one of the better ones out there. Fortnite's UEFN mode, also very, very strong. Just giving the ability to create different maps and script different modes and things, I think, is a really cool thing for communities to have their hands on. So if you want to check that out, again, the Halo YouTube channel is probably the best place to be, unless John is also controlling the play feed over there at some point. I tell you. Sea of Thieves, that is a game that I have not set sail in quite a while, John, but it is one that I would like to revisit at some point to do some more tall tales, as well as to check out these new weapons. Guys, we have a double barrel pistol and throwing knives making their way to the Sea of Thieves. We have skeleton camps, new cannonballs, including the scatter shot, a new throwable called the bone collar. We have a new tool, the Horn of Fair Winds, a.k.a. the wind collar. Not 100% sure what that one does. We have zip lines. That sounds like hella fun. Harpoon walking. I can only imagine what that looks like. A new world event, the Burning Blade. Again, skeleton camps listed here again. And owl companions. So if you want to live out your Harry Potter fantasy on the seas, you now have owl companions to do so as well.
Yeah, I would have to imagine that harpoon walking, Joey, is when you shoot a harpoon into another ship. And there's that rope attached.
Oh, I like that.
And you would
that.
Walk across.
A little trapeze.
Which, you know, is another reason to never play on a PvP server in this game ever again. I'm just like.
Okay, we had a ton of fun playing PvP, though, as well.
My anxiety was at an all-time high playing PvP in Sea of Thieves. We would have, like, a million coins and chests on our boat. And we're sailing back to Reapers, and like the entire time, I'm just like up in the crow's nest. I'm like, is that a boat? Is that a boat? No, it's a cloud. Is that a boat? Is that a no? It's a seagull. What about that? This is that a boat? No, it was terrifying. And then when we get to Reapers, there's always some camper, some little squeaker 8-year old that's like, I'm gonna kill you and take all your money. And it was never fun. It was never fun, ever.
I enjoyed it from time to time. There's some good memories there. We'll have to maybe hit up Panicking Pat at some point, see if we can get him back on here. Hit the seas together again, the three of us. Maybe we can even call Dana in there, get a fourth potentially.
Oh, see, here you go, Joe. Right there on screen. That's what it is. Harpoon walking. That's exactly what I said it was.
I would call this harpoon surfing.
Kind of, you know, borderline Tony Prohawk meets Blackbeard the pirate.
I wonder if it has to be angled like that. Like, you have to use the momentum, or if you can walk, if it's like a straight line.
No, you can walk straight up it, too.
Oh, there you go. That answers that question.
Physics does not exist in the world of Rare. don't see that happening very well. I don't know. Like, I like to think I have pretty good balance. I'm not doing that. Not from a boat to another boat. Absolutely not going up or going down. Following the ocean. Simple as that.
Oh, you would go down a rope?
If it was a zip line, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you played your fair share of Tony Hawk. Just imagine it without the skateboard, right?
Sure.
Okay, I don't know if this is detailed in here, but what do we think the bone collar is or the Horn of Fair Winds?
You know what? Let me skip ahead and see if I can find out.
I'm guessing, if I had to guess, I would think the bone collar is something that probably calls skeletons out from the ground.
Well, is this the bone collar right
like
here?
Like an AoE type of? Should be a throwable. I think this is probably about the new world event, the Burning Blade.
Yeah, okay. There's some pretty...
Ooh, that cosmetic? Oh,
that looks insane.
Daddy Pirate.
Excuse me. Think of the children, Joey.
Fun fact, I don't think I've hit Pirate Legend still. I need to go back and do that.
What a joke.
I know. You guys did that boosting server BS. I'm still
I don't know
on
what
the
you're talking
real...
about. We did no such thing as...
It
wasn't a boosting server.
Yeah, you were...
It was a server where we had control over every single ship. There were very strict rules in that server, sir.
I wonder if the wind collar is something where you can use a horn to, like, change the direction of the wind. Could you imagine doing that? Like, blowing it and having the wind go right against someone's sails? If they're, like, chasing you, that would be hella annoying.
No comment. No comments, sir. This is a family program.
Oh my gosh, you're too much. Too much, I tell you. But yeah, Sea of Thieves getting a lot of new content. I'm pretty sure these are the first two new weapons that we have seen in the game since its launch originally. I don't remember any other weapons.
Harpoon gun? Clutch. Too many times.
But that's not like a carryable weapon.
It is.
The harpoon gun?
Yeah, we're watching it right now.
Oh,
not only
I've never
can
seen
you
this.
Scale up the side of a cliff faster, but if you fall off the ship, you don't have to drop anchor. You can just shoot your harpoon and get back on.
Wait, is this new or is this already in game?
Yeah, this is new.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right there. And there was the wind blower thingy where you blow someone off a cliff.
Oh, it's like a yoink.
It's more of a doink.
A boop.
Yeah, a Lucio boop.
Oh, I like this.
Everything comes back to Overwatch, and I hate it.
This is Level Up Learns Live, guys. As you can tell, we did not have a chance to watch this update.
Oh, you can throw knives, too. Yeah, so you can be like that knives, one like Valorant sick. Person that throws knives.
I'm excited for throwing knives. I think that'll be fun.
So, Joey, you have to download the game first.
Fun fact, I never deleted it. I do still have it downloaded.
Oh, well, I definitely deleted it.
Yeah, I definitely still have this puppy downloaded.
It did have a longer lifespan than Halo did on my hard drive.
Hey, as if that's saying much around these parts. With that being said, John, we do have some other topics to cover, so we should probably move along. The next one's still kind of pirate-themed, though, and it is one right down your alley, or should I say your sea, matey. This is World of Warcraft launching a new Battle Royale-inspired mode, Plunderstorm. 60 players per match in this nice PvP arena that John is beyond excited to drive into.
Oh, was that my cue to be excited?
Oh, yes, please. Please show all the... No,
I
the trailer
hate this.
Too while we're
I absolutely hate this. Yes, Joey, you have to remember, I don't have my stream deck, so I have to do everything.
Oh, that's right. We're deckless tonight, guys. Deckless over here.
Let's try to get the sound off.
Oh, there is a really cute little owl pet that comes with this, though, it looks like. Why does everyone want owls? Is owls like a thing in Pirates? I don't remember owls being a giant thing.
Sure, why not? Joey, I had one request in life, and that is that you do not battle royale my MMO. And Blizzard has dumped a tub of battle royale Miracle Whip on my MMO. And if there's two things in this world I hate, it's mayo and battle royale. Absolutely not. I do not want to play this. I'm sick and tired of battle royales. They're boring. They're repetitive. They're just no. Like, first off, positive note. Kudos to Blizzard for having a patch that was not on PTR. Nobody knew what was coming, so it was kind of a surprise. Got the community really excited. The community was actually like, hey, we would love to have more patches like this where we don't know what's coming and we kind of get to discover it when we log in to play. Just don't slap me across the face with a battle royale mode because I just don't care. I'm not playing this at least once. I have zero desire. It's a completely separate login from your normal game. You're not even logging in. You're not even playing your character. It's a completely separate thing.
Wait, for real?
Yes. It's completely separate from the game. It's not your actual character. It's a separate server in the World of Warcraft. It's preset characters with certain abilities. It's a battle royale. It's just like, you know, your default character in Fortnite. Like it's the default. It's the same for everyone. You don't get to make your own character and bring it in. Same thing here. These are all default characters. So your level, you know, your max level mage or warlock or priest or whatever, that's like, you know, dressed out to the nines in your mythic plus raid gear and all that other fun stuff. Congratulations. Not going to do you jack in this game mode. Because you're going to be playing a fat Pandarian brewery monk thingy over here hiding in a damn bush because that's the only thing you qualify to play as. I'm not excited about this at all. I could really care less. I was excited for something new, for something different, for something I didn't know what was going to come. And then Blizzard gives me a battle royale, and I would rather go face first into a pug group, into a raid, then do this. And that says something because pug groups never work. Zero desire to play this whatsoever. I will wait for the expansion to come out. Please and thank you.
When you said that, I had this image of you driving your head into a group of pugs. I know that is not what was intended, but man, was that quite the image.
It's literally a group of randos trying to pull off a raid, and it doesn't work because there's no communication whatsoever.
Yeah. That makes a lot more sense than dogs licking you as you stick your face in front of them.
Yes, but, as much as I would love to dive into a pile of dogs, Blizzard has been doing a great job with World of Warcraft when it comes to being open with the fan base, explaining what's coming up, listening to the fan base, making those changes in game and everything. So I'll give them kudos for that. This missed the mark. And according to some big World of Warcraft insiders in the community, like Taliesin and Evacel, this was not the original intent. Mm. It was not a battle royale. Right, the battle royale came from them, from Blizzard acquiring a smaller developer that was making a battle royale, and they essentially just took it and made it into World of Warcraft and rolled it out.
It was Crow. I know exactly who you're talking about.
It was not Crow.
No, it was the one with the little magic sleeves.
Yes.
Wow, I cannot think of their name, but yes, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, so that's where this came from, was that acquisition. And I'm sorry, like, kudos for the build-up, kudos for the teasers. Honestly, a letdown. Like, honestly, a letdown. It's not going to make me want to play this at all. At all. Now, yes, there is a really cool mount you can get by playing this game mode. Maybe, just maybe, if that mount is somewhat easy to obtain, I might play it just to get the mount because it is pretty badass looking. But other than that, I have zero desire to even change the server setting on my Battle.net launcher to log into this game mode. Zero desire.
While we wait for John to log into this game mode, studio in question was Proletariat, and Spellbreak was their fantasy battle royale title with the kind of gauntlets of fire and ice and all the elemental stuff going on, which was super fun, by the way. It had kind of like an anime aesthetic as art style. And the elemental stuff was really well done. So, unfortunately, did not have a big enough player base to stay around with all the other battle royales out there. But it was a fun one for those who dove in. And at least if some of that inspiration makes its way here, hopefully it will be interesting to see how it plays out. But, John, I do think, and chat does as well, I think you will eventually make your way into this, whether it be for the mount or not. I think you at least got to give it a try, right? Even if you play with the big Pandaren monk, I just got to see at least one round of you in this.
No. Joy, there's a better chance of me downloading Halo.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, guys, we're not looking too good on this one.
No, you're not.
We'll see what happens as the future unfolds. But for now, John will not be diving into the Plunderstorm, it sounds like, at least in the near future. Next up in another MMO news, we have Riot Games making the decision to delay and reset the direction of theirs. It's supposed to be kind of like an MMO of the world of Runeterra, which is where League of Legends and Legends of Runeterra and all of those different games under the Riot umbrella outside of Valorant currently take place. Unfortunately, the MMO brought in a lot of hope initially, but with this reset, we don't really know what to expect when it eventually comes out much later than originally projected, which it was already being projected, I want to say it was like 2028. So we could be even looking into the next generation of consoles, potentially the next decade of 2030-something, when this does eventually make its way out. Go ahead, John. I know you were ready to say some things about the old Riot MMO here in Mark Merrill's comments.
It's not the comments. I am highly anticipating the release of Riot's MMO. I think a lot of people in the MMO world are. I think if there's one company that can put a dent into the World of Warcraft, it's going to be Riot. I am not a fan of who they hired to take over the direction of this game. And I will tell you why. So the fine gentleman that they hired to see the new direction of the Riot MMORPG is the one and only, I'm not even going to try to pronounce this, Fabrice. There we go. Simple as that. He comes over from his time working on games like Mass Effect Andromeda, Mass Effect 3, Mass Effect 3 Omega. He has worked on games like, if my computer would like to load, I'd be very appreciative.
Did he do Anthem?
He at BioWare as well. No, I do not want to disable my ad blocker. Sorry, Forbes. I do believe he worked on Anthem as well. Oh, my gosh. Yes. He worked on Anthem. So here's my thing. And I feel like a lot of gamers will share this opinion as well. You're working on an MMORPG on a very popular universe you created in Runeterra, in League of Legends, if you will, with some lovable characters, lovable squishy characters, if you will. And it's not going the direction you thought, so you go in a different direction. You bring in someone else. You bring in someone with a very impressive video game background, but that person comes from EA. I think that's enough to terrify anybody. That anybody from EA with an EA background is going to come in and attempt to make this game. That should terrify you as a gamer. Why? Because of EA's history in the past 10 years when it comes to first person or studio or I should say EA-backed games. Yes, has EA had some hits? Absolutely. Absolutely, they definitely have. But at the end of the day, they're not very good at really connecting with the community. So I really hope if Mark Merrill is going to hire Fabrice to oversee his MMORPG, I really hope he's gone through the Riot car wash to get the EA toxicity and toxins off of him so he doesn't bring that same EA attitude over. That's what I'm nervous about. And from a lot of posts on social media, that's what a lot of people are nervous about, is bringing someone over from that EA ecosystem. That's terrifying. The other thing also, this game continues to be in limbo. The only update that Mr. Merrill gave us, and I really do appreciate it, is... I'm writing to you update on where we're at with the game. And before anyone panics, yes, we're still working on the game. Congratulations. There's your update on the status of this MMORPG that's been promised to us for the past several years that a lot of us were looking forward to when it comes out in the year 2074. Now it probably delayed to the year 3136. So I want more updates. I want teasers. I want images. Give me something. Give me something that actually tells me you're working on this. Don't give me a sizzle reel of Revan igniting his lightsaber and tell me you're making a game. And that's the only thing I get. And then you secretly kill it off in the middle of the night and not tell anyone. Don't do that. Don't do that to your community that you have built over almost 20 years with League of Legends. Give us some kind of update. Cool, great. We get a guy from EA. Fantastic. That makes me nervous. It should make you nervous. Don't just say, yes, we're still working on it, because that doesn't really tell us much. It means, yes, we haven't given up on it yet. Yes, it's not on our back burner. Yes, we're working on it. Cool, great. Show us something. Tell us something that can give our hope a little bit more juice to continue to burn while we wait for the year 3634 when this game will finally come out.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at one thing, though, Riot has typically delivered on projects they've put out. You can argue Legends of Runeterra maybe didn't take as much of the Hearthstone audience as they expected it to, but Valorant took a big chunk out of CSGO. Obviously, League of Legends, one of the most popular games in the world, did its due diligence when it went up against Dota and Heroes of the Storm. You have a number of their games just constantly succeeding. They're going to jump into the fighting game genre here soon. Red Alert out from Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter and Guilty Gear and all those games as well, because you guarantee Riot is going to bring that live service aspect that we've come to know and love from their different games. Maybe not love all the time, but for the most part, they do give bi-weekly updates. We're getting content regularly, some of that more balance fixes here and there, but also some new fresh content coming into, whether it be new heroes, fighters, champions in League of Legends. I think... the question mark for the MMO side, when we look at a lot of these MMOs, their sustainability is on selling those big updates every couple years. Same with WoW, Elder Scrolls, all the big ones out there. it doesn't really fit into Riot's MMO or MMO, and in this case, MMO. Exactly. So I'm curious to see if they go with a more of a battle pass style approach, if they're hoping to keep it as free to play as possible, or maybe they put a quick timer on things where instead of having to buy the most recent expansion, you can get it 6 months early or whatever. I don't know what they're going to end up doing. But I think a lot of what they've done well is not separating the player base, except in the competitive side of things with the different rank systems they employ. So I'm very curious how that's going to translate over to an MMO, because at least for me, John, I can't really think of one except what maybe like RuneScape back in the day that really didn't hide stuff behind content doors of having to get these purchases either yearly or bi-yearly.
Yeah, I mean, again, there's just too many questions. Right. And that's the issue is... If you're going to go as far to announce you're working on this project, you're going to need to give updates. And mm-hmm. and it needs to be more of an update than just yes. You know, you have to start that process. Like, look, at least the remake of Knights of the Old Republic got a sizzle reel. They got something. When Starfield was teased, we got a little bit of action from the main ship you get when you start off the game. You know, that's it. Like, something to give us hope that this title you've been talking about and teasing has some kind of life. There's nothing other than your word. And if there's one thing I've learned in my lifetime of playing video games is I do not trust a developer when they say, yes, we're working on something, and the community goes, cool, can you show us or tell us something about it? And they go, no, I don't believe them. I'm worried. I'm worried.
Yeah, and I mean, some of that is like corpo speak, right? Like, Riot Games is employed by Tencent. They are the owner, and they are a publicly traded company. So there's only so many things they can say. But at the same point, it is one of those things where it would be nice to get a teaser, right? Like, give us a little sneak peek of a map, even if it's just a portion cut off. Give us a little bit more lore than you've given us through League of Legends. I feel like there are definitely opportunities. And again, they don't want to oversell what they don't have too much of as of yet. But it is one of those things, like John said, if you're going to come as far as to announce it, and we've criticized PlayStation for this, we've criticized Xbox for this, Riot Games is not the first one to do it. But if you're going to give a teaser, you got to follow up with something. Even if it's a year or two later, even if it's super small, give us something to savor. Give us something to want more. And right now, it's just too many questions. And now to hear about a delay and a restructure does not exactly instill a bunch of confidence in this particular project. Next up in the news is Steam. They've announced Steam Families, a feature kind of bringing all of their family systems together into a single location where a head of household or account manager, per se, the father, the mother of the household, can go through here and give access to their library of games to others in that family. John, I love the idea of this, and Steam to some degree has had something like this before. Now it's a much more clean-cut version of it. We've seen Xbox and PlayStation improve their parental control features. This is kind of similar. If you have a big, bloody, violent game, maybe a GTA, and you don't want your 8-year-old playing it, it should be easy to lock it out of their library in this new system. Versus if you have all these other games that are super family friendly that you want the 5-year-old or 6-year-old to play, now you have the ability to kind of make those more accessible within their library and so on and so forth. I like the idea of this. I think from a family perspective, from an affordability perspective, game sharing is definitely something that has been a question mark to some degree in the digital age. It was much easier when you had a disc that you could walk over to your friend's house or give to your child or whatever it may be. Nowadays, it's a little bit more difficult to do so, and I think this is kind of moving the digital age forward, again, similar to what we've already seen on consoles, now making its way to PC with the shared library, a little bit of a cleaner option.
Back in the day, you didn't want your kid to play that mature game? Well, you hit it with the other mature items in your house. They couldn't find it, simple as that.
Oh my gosh. anything else to say on the topic of Steam going that direction? I'm afraid to let you keep going on the other side there.
That was the only thing I wanted to say, and I appreciate you for letting me say it.
Of course. moving right along into our multi-plat general gaming news, we have a few more topics to cover before we wrap up today's episode. GOG is teaming up with Amazon Luna to give gamers more access, or more ways, rather, to enjoy their games. GOG is a popular PC platform. A lot of people buy games on there. Amazon Luna, one of their biggest weaknesses in the market right now is that they don't own their own IPs and games for the most part. GOG is a good way to tap into a library of games. When you're competing with Xbox Cloud Gaming and PlayStation Cloud Gaming, And even NVIDIA GeForce, there's so many libraries that these other ones tap into that Amazon Luna, outside of like an Ubisoft contract and a little bit here and there of some other things, doesn't really have as much tap-in potential. I think bringing a partnership here with GOG does allow for a little bit more of that. Now, again, a lot of these games can be accessible on these other cloud competitors, per se. But Amazon Luna does have some strong web structure with AWS behind it. On top of this, now, again, not their own unique IPs, but access to more libraries does make them more of an attractive service in my mind. So I think this is a good move by both Amazon and GOG here. Longtime PlayStation executive Connie Booth is joining EA, John's favorite company, as a group general manager overseeing action and RPG titles, including EA Motive's Iron Man, Cliffhanger's Black Panther, BioWare's Dragon Age, and Mass Effect games. Connie Booth did a really good job at PlayStation. She's credited with a lot of the big growth over there on that side of things. It was a big bummer to see her leave, especially for the PlayStation faithful out there. With that being said, I'm surprised it's taken her this long to find a new job. It might have been she was just enjoying life and doing the best things out there for herself, but now a very high executive making her way over to EA, and I definitely think the teams under her will benefit from her leadership over there.
Or she'll become corrupt in the cesspool that is EA. One of the two.
Hopefully either, not the latter.
Either you die the hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Well played. Well played. If we do get a Mass Effect game where I have to build an ultimate team of people, or a Dragon Age game where I'm spinning something in a loot box, I am not going to be a fan. Hopefully that is not the direction we go. But her taking over the kind of the Marvel IPs, taking over some of the big IPs in Dragon Age and Mass Effect, some of the bigger ones outside of sports known over there at EA, I think they are putting quite a bit of faith into her, and I think she will deliver given her resume from PlayStation. Epic Games, they've announced the Epic Game Store heading to mobile devices. John, this has been a struggle. We've seen Epic and Apple kind of go at it for, it feels like, it has to have been like 3 or 4 years now, right? Like, it's been a hot minute that they have kind of escalated things. And then we went to a court case like last year or the year before when they ended up having Apple pull Fortnite off of the App Store because EA said, hey, you can get things for cheaper if you just click this link and go do it on our website instead of through the Apple Store. And then that created a bunch of drama and it got taken off. And then Google eventually took it off the Play Store as well. Eventually, it was reinstated on both, I believe, at this point. With that being said, there's still some fights going on. Apple recently took away Epic Games developer tools for iOS. Epic cried to the EU courts. The EU court says, hey, Apple, that's against this agreement. You got to give them back. Apple gave them back. And then Epic said, hey, not only are you giving us the tools back, but we're going to create our own store and kind of bypass what you do here in the App Store so we don't have to pay that giant 30% or whatever credit they ask for. With that being said, John, nice trailer. I love this.
I had to pull it out. It's so good.
It is brilliant. Fortnite and Epic have done some creative things. While I don't 100% agree with some of the stuff they go for, I think their initial court case was a little bit weak. I do think they have some good stuff coming up in these more recent arguments as far as Apple taking a giant percentage out of the developers on those stores. That being said, Epic Games is launching the Epic Game Store for iOS and Android mobile devices based on the court case that they did win over there in the EU. I think this eventually will come out globally as Apple continues to kind of shift their strategy based on these law rulings, let's say, from the courts. There are some still ongoing, and I don't know how they'll play out, but at least Epic is putting faith in them working out in their favor and kind of developing these stores for these mobile devices. On top of that, we do have Fall Guys assets making their way to UEFN, which is getting a ton of updates. Again, not a ton of time on the show to touch on all of these. There are a billion of them, it feels like. Graphical updates, we're talking accessibility updates, we're talking different tools and features for developers and creators using UEFN. You guys can check all that out. It is at GDC, and there should be plenty of stuff posted online from Epic's like public channels as well. If you guys want to dive fully into those details. But yes, you'll be able to use Fall Guys, Little Bean Guys, create your own courses and all of that goodness in UEFN itself. And I think we'll have some cool little crossovers and such come out of this deal as well, and maybe eventually available on mobile devices through this new Epic Game Store too. John, anything else to say about all this Epic goodness going on, as well as some of the Apple struggles potentially on their way?
Not really.
Not really. So we make our way and move on. Skydance. They have showed off a new trailer for their upcoming Marvel game. John, I'm not the biggest fan of this title. I do kind of get what they're going for, though. The title coming out as Marvel 1943 Rise of Hydra. It doesn't really feel like it gives me a ton. We already knew the era. It was going to be around World War II time, and we did know it was going to be Hydra-based. This title very much states that both of those rumors were true. On top of that, it isn't super catchy, in my humble opinion, but I like the concept. The concept is intriguing. You have Captain America. You have Black Panther. You have some other set-piece characters available in a, I think it's going to be four at launch, maybe more to come later, maybe secret unlockable characters, not 100% sure, but I think this is leaning in that way of, I'm guessing, four-player co-op eventually. Don't know if that has been stated yet or not, but I feel like that is the direction I'm getting from this. And Skydance is led by Amy Hennig, who did a lot of stuff over at PlayStation as well. The Uncharted franchise is probably what she's most well-known for, now coming over and working on this. So based on Uncharted, there was some really good action in that, some really good environmental grappling and such, as well as a pretty deep story. So I am hopeful that this will land as a pretty strong Marvel game as well.
I have zero faith. I've already picked out several things I don't like. I still do not understand. I mean, I do understand why, but you want to make a connection with fans to buy and play this game. None of these characters look like the characters from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I will always have a problem with that. When you take a look at video games that were based upon popular media, in this sense, yes, I understand the Marvel Cinematic Universe derives from the comics. I get that. Comics are a niche group of people that read it, right? At the end of the day, they're super popular, but in the eyes of multimedia, it's not there. It's movies, it's TV shows. When you take a look at how people identify these heroes, it's when they see them in person, when they can see a physical person play that character. None of these characters look like the Marvel Cinematic Universe version of the character. The actors, the actresses that played those characters, I get it. You're going to have to pay for their image and likeness to put them in the game. I totally understand that. At the end of the day, I would almost guarantee you the sales would go up if you were to do that. Like, this does not look like Captain America to me. Yeah, he's wearing the Captain America costume. Does not look like Captain America. Black Panther doesn't look like the character or the actors that played Black Panther before Chadwick Boseman's character played Black Panther. Like, that's always been my issue with these games after essentially 2010. Because you take a look at the OG Spider-Man movies when Tobey Maguire's trilogy came out. They look like Tobey Maguire. Simple as that. And they sold well, even though they're kind of a weird game. They sold well because people were able to identify the character in the game. They felt like they were a part of the movie that they watched and they fell in love with. This, no, not at all. I'm sorry. That's always been my issue with these. Sorry. I'll stop.
No, I think it's a good point, and I definitely felt the same way for a while. The one that is kind of, and again, I wasn't the biggest fan of the character design, but it did grow on me over time, was the Guardians of the Galaxy game. Won a ton of awards, sold very well overall. It kind of went against the norm of what you're saying here. Now, with that being said, a lot of people's first reaction to that game was, these don't look like the characters we're used to. This is a different Gamora. She looks completely different. This Peter Quill is not who we expected him to look like. And I think that was one of the big setbacks from when that game was initially shown. It's like, yeah, the environments look great, but who are these characters? They don't really look a ton like the comic book. They don't look like the movies. They're just kind of, and again, they were inspired by the comic book, so that is the direction they did end up going on that, but it still didn't look like a one-on-one image. And I think that kind of goes to what you're saying here as well. Now, with that being said, this is a different time period. Captain America would still be the same based on his origin. Black Panther, this is probably T'Challa's grandfather, would be my guess, lore-wise.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit of a different character than we have seen on the screen. So that one, I think you can argue slightly more. With that being said, I do think there is a setback in that area, like you're mentioning. Some people are going to want that one-for-one image based on what they're used to. This game will not deliver that. Do I think it'll do well? Yes. I do think it'll still sell pretty well. I think it's going to be one of those things similar to Guardians of the Galaxy, though, where maybe it doesn't sell a ton up front, but as people get a little bit more accustomed to giving it a chance, or maybe it hits Game Pass PS Plus, one of those services, they'll start to dive in more and it will eventually have more players and sales. But yeah, that could definitely be a holdback moving forward, at least at the beginning. With that being said, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. So we look at adaptations that haven't done as well, for example, Halo, the TV series, and we've seen some things that maybe don't translate as well from the game to the show. This now kind of being the vice versa of a movie to a game. Do you think if they did go with those characters and maybe they played out differently than we would expect them on the silver screen to play out, that would be another disconnect for fans potentially?
No. And the reason why I don't think that would be a disconnect is because I feel like as fans, we always have that question, what if? And I choose that phrase for a reason. Disney launched a what if series with Marvel, looking at how things would play out if certain things changed. Like what if I'm blanking on the character's name, that's Captain America. Anywho, what if he didn't get the super soldier serum and someone else did?
Steve Rogers,
thank you. That's what I'm like. That I think is fine. That was a very popular series. It wasn't for me because to me it didn't make sense. But numbers wise, from Disney Plus, that series did incredibly well. That's why there's multiple series that have come out for the What If series. So yeah, I think if you have a video game that's like, allows the player to choose which path they want to go in. It's like, hey, I watched the movies. I know what path I should go in, but I'm curious, what would happen if I chose the other option? What happens if I didn't do that or what he did in the movie and I did something else? I made a different decision. I think that would be fascinating. I think that would actually do quite well. You give the player the option, do I want to relive the experience from the movie? Or do I want to set my own path? You as the creator of this game can determine whether that path ends up bad or not, or just an alternate timeline to get to the same point, just maybe a little bit bloodier or a little bit more mischievous. But nonetheless, like, I don't think that would take too much to allow the player choice in that sense. And I really think, honestly, especially how well player choice games have done, you take that popularity of game type plus the Marvel Cinematic Universe and you put it in a video game, I actually think that would be fairly successful. Now, I may be completely wrong. I have zero scientific studies to back this up. I have zero public studies to back this up. That's just a personal feeling. But I feel you take two popular things and put them together like that, it generally does work.
I like it. I like the theory. Hopefully we do see that put to the test here in the future of game development as they go on. We'd love to hear from your thoughts as well, though. Hit us up on X or Twitter, formerly. Threads, any of those platforms, typically at OTN Media. You can also find us at OTN_media on the Threads and Instagram side of things. Let us know your thoughts. Would you prefer to see these characters looking exactly as they do one for one in the movies? Do you prefer the comic edition? Do you prefer something completely different? Do you need a face scan like NBA 2K where you are the character? Let us know your thoughts as well on social media. That being said, we will slide over to our last couple topics. Changes are coming to Overwatch 2. We didn't need an Overwatch 2 to begin with. Overwatch is plenty fine in my mind, and some of the changes they made did not sit as well with fans, one of those being locking new heroes behind a battle pass. It was a dumb decision. If you're going to go free to play, it doesn't feel like this is a great move to kind of combat that or to rather sit in synergy with that move. I guess they wanted to bring in some more income with it going free to play. How do we do it? We drive home the battle pass sales. Do we do it with good cosmetics like every other game? No, we put some cosmetics, but we also say, hey, if you want to play that new hero, that new reason to stick around in our game in those 15-minute queue times at times, go ahead and buy the battle pass. Unfortunately, it did not do too well for them, or maybe fortunately for us players, because now we're going to get all those heroes from Malga to Illari to Lifeweaver to the newest one in Venture for free outside of the battle pass. They'll all be free to play moving forward with no paywall of buying that battle pass or having to spend Overwatch coins on it. I think this is a good move by Blizzard and one that is well overdue.
Joey, the look on this man's face is that of pure terror. Overwatch 2 is officially a meme. 1,000,000% a meme. And Blizzard has no one to blame but themselves. This is another example of the Overwatch team coming to a conclusion the community came to years ago. Years ago. It was a terrible move to, like, this is what's wrong with corporate America, is it will literally take months, if not years, of declining income, declining player numbers, declining everything, in order for them to realize that the player base that is yelling at you on social media, that is coming up to you at BlizzCon and telling you you're screwing this up, that your first original IP in over a decade that has built an international community and fan base where the voice actors and actresses are elevated to the level of that of borderline deity status, you're going to sit here and completely throw that all away because you stopped listening to the player base. It is March 20th of 2024. And you have now come to the conclusion that locking new players behind a paid battle pass in a free-to-play video game was a bad idea. This is exactly what is wrong with all of Overwatch. You keep providing more and more information on a yearly basis of why almost every single person in charge of this game should be scrapped and start all over. It is a nightmare of what's happening to Overwatch and Overwatch 2. Again, Overwatch 2, something that never should have happened, and we were told in the beginning it would never happen. This team continues to disappoint its community on a day-to-day basis. It's a joke. It's horrible. You're not going to get people to come back and play your game. This move is not going to... You may get like two or three people back, maybe. You know, you'll get some people back. But at the end of the day, like, this is not going to be enough to make me launch the client and re-download this game. Period in a story. Because you're going to find another way to disappoint the community in 3 minutes. Guaranteed. Because it's a joke. Joey, I see that smirk on your face.
Sorry. Yeah, I mean, they're going to get more players than 2 and 3. We both know
obviously.
That. Obviously, they're not going to upset us in 3 minutes, God willing. But it is one of those things. It is a little... It's too little too late, I think, is what a lot of it comes down to. You've lost so much of the player base. The Overwatch League has folded at this point. They have some other kind of competitive scene being worked out, but it's going to be nothing close to the production level or anything of what we saw with the Overwatch League, and the empty promises to some degree there as well. When you look at this, I think this is a move in the right direction, but again, probably a little, a little too late. I do think heroes should be free, especially if your game is dwindling in population. You're not going to want to force those remaining players to buy the battle pass. You're going to want to give them choice. And on top of that, if you want to attract new players at some point, you want ease of access to these heroes, to this champion pool, for them to play, for them to enjoy. At some point, they're probably going to run into the same problem that Riot Games did with League of Legends, where you have maybe too many heroes and you're going to have to do some kind of free-to-play rotation or something to limit just how much is happening up front. I don't know what their approach to that will be when that eventually comes. With that being said, I don't think we can blame every developer at Blizzard. I don't think every Overwatch team member is necessarily responsible.
We most definitely can.
I think a lot of this comes to upper management. And yes, that does include the upper management of the Overwatch team. I think Activision and upper management of Blizzard both had heavy hands in this. Probably some shareholders as well. In the end, I think it failed. Again, Overwatch... Overwatch is at over 100 million players, or is about to hit 100 million players, so it has done something pretty darn well, but there are plenty of places to improve. That relationship in China is one of those places. You lose a lot of players when you lost China in particular, with the different NetEase deal kind of falling through over there. I think that's something they need to put their place in. They need to put emphasis into. When you look at the heroes, making them free-to-play, I think, is just the start here. What else are we getting? We get a new map. We need maybe some more new maps, some more new modes, some more new reasons to come back into this. And I think that's really what they're striving for here. Do I think the hero is going to have us re-download? Probably not, like John was saying. But I do think it is a step in the right direction. I think there's more steps that need to be taken in order to pull more of that player base back. But in today's day and age, and we saw it with Halo as well, Halo has kind of come a very long way from where it was at launch, but if you lose that player base at launch, it is so hard to get back. And in Overwatch's case, they had a giant player base, but the launch of Overwatch 2 is where they ended up losing a lot of those people, and they just haven't made it back, and I just can't think of too many compelling reasons. There are very few games that are able to pull a player base back like that, Fortnite probably being one of them. But I really can't think of too many more that have seen a huge player base drop off to eventually come back up. And I think Overwatch is going to be a victim there where they're not going to be able to recover at the rate they would like to. Anything else on Overwatch? I know we could probably talk about it for a hot minute and could probably write a whole term paper on the different bad decisions Joey, they made on this one.
Overwatch is not worth the oxygen that I would use to talk about it. End of story.
There you have it, guys. Just a couple topics left. Some games coming out this week, guys. There are a ton of games, including John's MLB The Show 24. We also have Hades heading to iOS. Hi-Fi Rush, critically acclaimed game on Xbox and PC, now making its way to PS5, available as of Tuesday, March 19th. Lightyear Frontier on Xbox and PC. MLB The Show, PlayStation, Xbox, and I believe for the first year ever on Nintendo Switch as well. Wednesday, March 20th, it didn't rate too well, but if you're interested in another horror thriller game, Alone in the Dark is headed to PS5, Xbox, and PC as of today. Tomorrow, Thursday, March 21st, we have Call of Duty Warzone Mobile. That is going to be a giant hit for mobile devices and will make Xbox very happy with that Activision Blizzard costing them a happy dollar to go ahead and purchase them. As a company, Call of Duty Warzone Mobile should bring some of that income back in the form of revenue, assuming that does launch as well as many people expect it to. We have Final Fantasy 14. That was my Roman numeral adding in my head. Plus all the expansions coming to Xbox consoles. Horizon Forbidden West, the PlayStation 5 PlayStation 5 game that did quite well critically. It's now making its way over to PC with a port from Nix's. We have Midnight Ghost Hunt also making its way to PC. And then Friday, March 22nd, we have the triple bang of games here. Rise of the Ronin, a PS5 exclusive. Princess Peach Showdown for Nintendo Switch, which I've barely seen anything for that game. I guess they're just marketing it on the name of Princess Peach alone. And then the big one, a lot of people's first game of the year contender for the year, Dragon's Dogma 2 making its way to PS5. Xbox Series X and S, and PC as well. Keep an eye out for that one. It is rating extremely high so far, sitting right around an 89 to 90 on OpenCritic and Metacritic, also at 96% recommended on OpenCritic. Definitely check out those reviews if you're kind of on the fence. If you're not on the fence, it's probably worth picking up. It is going to be a pretty penny, I think a $70 price point for this one, as games continue to rise in prices. But as far as Game of the Year contenders, it sounds like, at least based on a lot of journalists I've talked to, this is their top big one, at least so far, and their highest one in the first quarter of the year.
Except for IGN.
Except for IGN, who gave it an 8 out of 10, because IGN just does IGN things sometimes.
The lowest score out of the group.
The lowest score out of the group. Guys, judge for yourself if you want to pick this one up. Again, a lot of critics recommending it. IGN, I think, still recommended it, even with their slightly lower rating. John, don't give me that face. On top of that, guys, there's going to be a lot of other game announcements and trailers coming out this week as the Game Developer Conference happens in San Francisco. We don't have time to touch on all of those, or we'd be looking at a three-hour show, but you should see some of those come out officially, some of those potentially leak out as well on social media. If you guys want to stay tuned to those announcements, take a look on our socials as well as other socials from different game developers, and hashtag GDC is one to follow as well. Last but not least, for those on PC, Epic Games Store, it's giving away some more free games this year. They've decided to continue that program, and these ones end tomorrow, so I'll try to get this podcast out tonight or first thing tomorrow morning, so you can still have some time to redeem these. We have The Bridge, which is a $9.99 game to pick up, as well as quite a bit more expensive, a $30 game here in Deus Ex Mankind Divided. Both of those available through, I believe, midday on March 21st. So if you want to pick up some free games, brother, don't turn down free. So I always try my best to go click them, even though I feel like I've only launched like one or two free games I've ever picked up from Epic. So I'm probably just taking their free money that they're giving out. But if you are someone who actually does launch those games or just want to claim the free money like I do, go ahead and head over to the Epic Games Store and click on those before midday tomorrow, the 21st. Okay, I see you over there, head shaker. With that being said, guys, we've covered a lot tonight. We've definitely went longer than we expected. We went pretty hot and heavy on the old PS5 Pro Edition and our different thoughts on that.
Sorry.
It took up a good chunk of the show. So you guys got some bonus content, about a bonus half hour here, as well as the little the issues we had with some of our broadcasting software at the beginning. But thanks for sticking through it for all those here with us on Twitch. Twitch.tv/OTN Media for those who want to join us later on for the show next week or in future weeks. We do the live show here as well as some other streams throughout the week. And John, with that being said, I think we're ready with your extra stream deck in hand to take us into that closing.
Nation, wake up. The show's over. Level Up Nation, that's going to do it for this edition of Level Up Live. But before you go, make sure you follow the show here on Twitch so you can catch my facial reactions to Joey's amazing takes or our amazing topics as well. You can catch the next episode of Level Up Live. If you listen to the show on our podcast feed, please do leave us a review if your podcatcher allows it. Level Up Podcast is available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and any other podcatcher. Just look us up, Level Up Podcast. We are there for you. We love to hear from our community, so feel free to reach out to us. Joey, what are some ways the community can reach out to us?
Absolutely, guys. Find us on X and Facebook at OTN Media. On top of that, you can find us at Instagram and Threads at OTN underscore media. Last but not least, hit us up on Twitch, twitch.tv/OTN Media. This show typically broadcasts Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Sometimes it flips to Wednesdays. Maybe eventually we'll do a morning show on a Saturday. You just never know around these parts. Stay tuned to me smacking my mic, but also stay tuned to those social feeds to check that out. On top of that, you can find us on Discord. Discord.me/OTN is the best place to come chat about games, sports, books, movies, and more. Hope to see you over there.
All right, make sure you tune in next week. And this is why we gave you the social media at the top and end of the show, is because we don't know when it's going to be next week. Tentatively the 28th of March, as we continue to cover the latest and greatest in gaming news. Do your ears and eyes a favor. Hit that sub and follow button here on Twitch and on your podcatcher to know when the next episode is ready for your entertainment pleasures. We'll catch you all next week. Enjoy your weekend. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always,
level up.